Well, I mentioned that we have two artists here whose work was judged to earn an award. It's just amazing to me. It's hard to judge art, but when you consider things like impact and a theme like envisioning just Pittsburgh, and to be able to have your work designated as one that really shows that, that's a big deal. And we have two students. They're both seniors. And if you would, I'd like you to each introduce yourself. Do you know each other very well? So that's cool. In some ways, because I like that we're able to bring people together. I'll let you start.
Hi, I'm Andreas Vizorek. I'm a senior in high school at Pittsburgh Kappa. I'm a literary arts major.
Good morning. First of all, thank you for having me on SLB. I'm Tatum Adams, and I'm also a senior at Shadyside Academy.
So what this is a conversation among all of us. Please, you two, jump in. Not to put you on the spot, but Tatum, what would you want to ask of Andreas?
I would say, how did you come across August Wilson, and what inspired your work with him?
Well, I heard about the contest because my poetry teacher had it like up on her Schoology page, and she told me about it. And I haven't had that many like opportunities to get my work published or shown places, so I got kind of excited about that because I had a poem that I'd already written that worked really well for the theme for envisioning a Just Pittsburgh, because the poem I submitted, I had actually written the school year, actually 2 years ago at this point, just about like my fascination with queer history, and I edited it to focus more on some of the struggles with researching it, because that's problems that I encounter relatively often, just because it's not well documented or has like purposefully not been preserved. So.
And what about for you, Tatum?
It's actually a funny story, and it's quite serendipitous because it started last year where I took part in an August Wilson literature course at my school. And through that course, we took a field trip to the August Wilson Archive at the University of Pittsburgh, where I was introduced to research programs they had over the summer, one of which I took part in. And this was a really cool program because we got to really delve into each of his plays in his century cycle, which is he wrote a play for each decade from the 1900s all the way to the 2000s. And through this, every morning when we get there, there would be these three big tables set up, and they would have all sorts of props from the plays and different notes that August Wilson would take as he would come up with these plays. And the culminating part of this research program was my poem, The Hill Remembers. And I was inspired to submit it, and I was suggested by the research team to do so.
Did you each bring your poems today? I mean, you're welcome to share them. And for some reason, I was thinking that the show was primarily art. Poetry is art, but I was thinking there also, you know, were 2D artworks or even sculpture as part of the show. That may be, I think. Have you been down to see the work yet?
I haven't. Like, I haven't seen it yet, but when I was submitting, there were also opportunities to submit visual art. It was just, I did writing.
Yeah, and I'd made the assumption that you both had art. I'm so glad you have poetry.
Yeah.
That we'll be able to hear. And the August Wilsons, what was the prompt? I know part of it was envisioning a just Pittsburgh, but was there also a specific August Wilson tie or theme that you were asked to weave in?
Not necessarily. I think it was, how do you envision a just Pittsburgh? And with my research, that's how I found a connection. And it sounds like you also had a similar connection, or?
Yeah. Like Tatum just said, the prompt was basically about, like, how do you envision Just Pittsburgh? There was something about archiving, mm-hmm. which was where I got inspired, because a lot of what my poem was inspired by was difficulties with archiving, specifically queer history, and challenges presented with researching it. So, like, that was how mine tied in. The prompt it was pretty open for interpretation, which I thought was good.
We've been doing a lot of work behind the scenes thinking about history, period, regardless of what the topic is. But certain topics aren't documented, and if they are documented, they are not necessarily documented accurately. Generally speaking, do you think that history books tell the whole story in some? Usually there's a lot more to the story that we're told, right?
Yeah. I'm a huge history nerd. That's one of my main interests. Social studies classes have always been my favorites. And I've been lucky enough to have some really, really good history teachers who have given us all sorts of, like, supplemental materials and extra readings and extra information. But I know that, like, that's something they chose to go above and beyond with, and the books for their classes don't necessarily give us information. Like, I took AP U.S. History last academic year, and my teacher for that, my student teacher actually, made a point of having a whole day where our lesson was a presentation she had made about specifically queer people in the U.S. and Western Europe, because of the influence that goes back and forth there, during, like, World War II, which was the era we were in. But if we had just gone by the book for the class, we wouldn't have had that information at all, because that was stuff she had researched on her own time to tell us.
It's great to have a teacher that goes above and beyond like that. And I know I was always frustrated in history and social studies because, you know, I was taught to learn certain dates and facts and times, and I just felt like I was never being given the whole story or the true story. And
yeah.
What about you, Tatum?
I think that's what my poem speaks a lot to. I think The Hill Remembers is an archive for a lot of the history and voices of Pittsburgh that were either lost or buried through gentrification or other types of redevelopment. And I think my goal is to share a lot of that history, because I think that's important as we move into the future to understand how we can be better people and how we can live a more just and equitable life.
Well, I'm so glad that you have poems to share. I'm going to fade the music away because I want your words to stand alone. And again, it's just wonderful to have you here with us. We have Andreas and Tatum, who are both seniors. Andreas at Pittsburgh Kappa, Tatum at Shady Side Academy. And it looks, who's going to go first?
I can start.
Okay. So, Tatum, I'm just going to get out of the way and turn it over to you.
Sure. So I'll give a little bit of background. Like I said, the idea of the poem is it serves as this archive. And it was inspired a lot by August Wilson and his Century Cycle, as well as the work of Teenie Harris. And the idea for the poem is it mirrors the evolution of Pittsburgh from the 1900s into the 2000s. So I'll begin. It's called The Hill Remembers. The hill remembers when roads were mud. Stories kindled like embers from Aunt Esther's tongue. Steeped in saltwater crossings, in grief, worn into callous palms. Men move with ghost stitched into their coats, searching for what was lost or long since taken. Jazz wept through shuttered windows, a hymn and a howl braided in smoke. Pianos devoured time in their hollow bellies, each key a fingerprint, a wound, a family song entombed in black and ivory. Outside, voices scaled brick and sky, gritty, iron-laced, gospel rough, a chorus rising raw and ragged, scraping for breath, for soil that never softened, for a place the storm cannot claim. Fences crept upward, slow but certain, rooted in the marrow of fathers like Troy, who carved into boys the strength to root like oak, even as the world splintered their backs. In neon-lit diners, steeped in stillness, men held vigil over more than just coffee. The streets whispered in fractures and hush, every cracked sidewalk a gospel, each corner a lament for the unnamed. Steel surrendered to glass, the city's bones, bricks, soot, and ash, buried beneath glamorous blueprints and amnesia. But the heartbeat persisted, seared into murals, etched into flesh, drumming behind cement mask. A rhythm too fierce to flatten, too sacred to silence, the blood song, thrumming under the city's skin. Thank you.
I loved that. You may not have seen me, but I got a big smile on my face when you mentioned fences.
Yeah.
And I said, he is doing what I think he's doing, you know, going through that to the alliteration, also the shout outs to his work. That's beautifully done. And, you know, there are still relatives of August Wilson living in Pittsburgh who probably would get such pleasure out of hearing that.
Yeah,
poem.
I hope so. I think we have a lot from him still. I know if you go over the summer to the Hill District, you can actually go to his house where he was born and watch plays in his backyard.
Yeah.
So there's some really, really cool opportunities in that regard.
Did you, you mentioned when you went to Pitt to see the archives, I'm told that August Wilson did a lot of his writing. He would collect phrases on sheets of paper that he overheard in the community, not really knowing what he was going to do with them, but when he heard a phrase that he liked, he would write it down and say, I'm going to put it somewhere, or he'd tack it up on a wall and then use that in dialogue. Do they have some of
those? Yeah, you're completely right. So like I was saying, across these tables were sprawled with different props, but also a lot of his notes. So I remember there was just a paper napkin that he thought of this idea while at Eddie's Diner, which is a place he liked to visit. And his plays, they were very organic in the way he created them. If someone gave him a suggestion or he was just had an idea on the spot, he would write it down. And that's why there was so much to the archive and what made it so fascinating.
It'd be neat to be able to see those. And that's at the University of Pittsburgh. And you also heard Tatum mention up on Bedford Avenue, the August Wilson House, not to confuse that with the August Wilson African-American Culture Center, which is where this work is currently on display. Let's turn to Andreas now. I will get out of the way so you can share your work.
All right. I can give a bit of background on my poem, too. I wrote this in my sophomore year initially, my first draft at least, and it was inspired by a unit we had done in my poetry class that we were focused on different poetic movements, and we moved sort of chronologically, and one that we were focused on was, I forget if this was in beat poetry or language poetry, but it was one of the two, and one of our poems we had to read was this poem called Little Known Facts About People by Joe Brainard. And I really, really liked it because I've always been someone who is obsessed with trivia and that's like how I make most conversation with people is just trivia because I don't know how to talk to people otherwise. So that poem is a lot of trivia about just different people, mostly people around New York. And so I got inspired by that, and this poem started as basically just a list of queer history trivia that I knew. It's called Joan of Arc and James Dean. And people will tell you we're new, though Joan of Arc was transmasculine and so were so many cowboys, out west with no family's reputations to lose. And the YMCA used to be a massive cruising spot, and yes, that's what that song's about, whether or not the village people say so. And James Dean was bisexual openly enough, and the studio didn't want their bad boy to like boys, so he was supposed to play it straight. Like Sal Mineo, Marlon Brando, Steve McQueen, celebrated classic Hollywood pretty boys. And to say not a word on the litanies of lovely ladies in loveless or lavender marriages and their long-term lady roommates and friends. Maude Adams, a lesbian, was the first to play Peter Pan, and for crying out loud, Abraham Lincoln liked men. Textbooks will tell you none of this. You'd be lucky to get a whisper of people like us, because if you're pastless, you come from nobody, and coming from nobody makes you no one. And you'll be half insane and fully angry, smiling with sharp teeth and laughing at the absurdity. You never thought twice about learning their history, and they can't be bothered to listen to yours, not even barely. And it'll be belittled as theory and called unsubstantiated, because our very existence is put up to be debated. You'll collage trivia and speculation with glue and scotch tape, unwinding facts and fictions and centuries-old slander yellow with age till you finally have something to cling to. And if you take what you can and do what you must, you'll get what you need, which is, of course, a past.
Tatum, any reaction to that? That was really something.
I know.
Let me get your mic on. I'm sorry.
That was amazing.
Thank you.
I think when something that I noticed when you write poetry, it's not like a long form essay in that you write a lot of words, but in this poetry, every word counts, I feel like, and you have to be really thoughtful about that. And it seemed like you were very specific with the word choice you used. Did you have a similar experience when you wrote your poem?
I edited this poem loads. I actually, before I submitted it, I had to stop rereading it because if I keep reading my work, I'll keep editing it and I'm never done with anything because of that. Because I'll keep being like, well, there's a better word I could use for this. There's a better word I could use for this. I could make these sounds go together better. And it just will never be like a finished thing. I think I've read variations on the same poems like 3 times at different readings and people haven't noticed it was the same thing. Yeah, I mean, that's what you're saying is, like, that's where that phrase comes from, like, brevity is the soul of wit. With poetry, I have to be a lot more particular, and I can't use, like, filler words and stuff, so I spent a while being kind of surgical about what words I used.
Short is hard. Brevity is very difficult. And I can tell you've performed that poem before, I'm guessing.
I don't know that I've performed that one specifically, but I have performed poetry before because I'm at Kappa. I'm a literary arts major, and we do department readings every so often. We've done a couple here.
I was going to say, were you here a few weeks ago?
Yes, I was.
Yeah.
I wasn't reading, but I was here.
I unfortunately was not here that day, but Kappa, which is the Creative and Performing Arts High School, Pittsburgh Public Schools, has an event we do together called Cappuccino. We turn over the Youth Media Center to about 60 students, some sharing poetry, others simply there to listen. Tatum, what about you and the poem you read? Do you perform poetry as well?
This was sort of my first experience with writing poetry. I performed it a few times already. A couple weeks ago at the Carnegie Museums, there was an exhibition. I got to share it there. And that was a really cool experience getting to hear other people's work, whether that be poetry or song. I haven't had too much experience with it, but it's been a really fun time, and I hope to continue sharing poetry.
It's been wonderful to have both of you here. I've got a few quick questions. One, is there anybody, either of you, would like to acknowledge or mention that you didn't have room to do?
I think I would just like to talk about the arts in general in Pittsburgh. And I think that we're so fortunate to have such a wide variety of arts, whether that be the Carnegie Museum's and Carnegie Library programming from Heinz Hall to SLB Radio. I think that we're such a rich history, rich city of culture, and I encourage a lot of young people to go out there and explore. I think you could find something every weekend to engage in. So I think that's my message, is to just explore and engage in the culture of Pittsburgh.
It's a good thought to share. Thank you. Andreas?
I would like to mention my literary arts teachers, because if I wasn't a literary arts major at Kappa, I would probably still be writing, but I don't think that I would be a writer necessarily. And so I'm very grateful for that program, for that department, because writing has been like such a huge part of my life because of it. I've always liked writing, even when I was in elementary school, but getting into Kappa in middle school, and especially some of the teachers I've had since starting high school, like my poetry teacher, Mix Carlson, have been very important and very inspiring for me. And also they've been very encouraging of me to like try to get my work published, show it to people, all that sort of thing that I wouldn't do, at least not as much, if I wasn't told that I should.
My other question is, what's next? You're both about to graduate. I know you're getting asked that question way too much, but people are curious.
So I'm going to college in the fall. I'm actually going to the University of Pittsburgh. I'm hoping to major in film and media studies, because I am obsessed with movies. So going to college about movies. Other than that, I'm also in a band. We're working on trying to schedule a show on our bassist's college campus. I play the drums with them. And other than that, I don't know, I do loads of stuff.
Well, it's good to know those things. What about you, Tatum?
I'm interested in economics. I've taken a few courses at school, and I just finished a really interesting research paper on economics. It was about why do young people make the spending decisions they do, and it studied a lot of the behavioral and present bias related things that cause people to make irrational decisions. So I think I'm really interested in the human side, so behavioral economics.
So you must be a Freakonomics fan.
Do you know? Yes, yeah. I've listened to it, yeah.
Yeah, and the books there are great. Behavioral economics is really interesting, as are the fields you're considering, Andreas. Thank you both for being here. It was wonderful to hear your stories and the poetry, and I hope we'll see you again.
Thank you.
Thank you. I hope so, too.